Hallelujah. Let's just stand and praise Him. Let's worship our God. There might be a hurricane blowing outside. Do you know what we need in the church? We need
a revival.
We need a hurricane like this. A hurricane that affects the nation, affects every town, city, even the homes that aren't detrimentally affected that have been influenced by a wind blowing through this land. But we're praying for another wind. A real wind to come from heaven, just like the wind that blew in the day of Pentecost. That was a wind that has never stopped affecting this world of ours, and certainly the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's forget about everything else. We are soldiers, aren't we? We've been enlisted into an army. You didn't volunteer, you're enlisted. You're called forth, you got the letter in the post saying, forgot to tell you, you're in the army now. Here's your date. Make sure you've got your weapon. We're in a warfare. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're dealing tonight with the belt of truth. It says again in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let me say that again. Listen to it. Comprehend the depths of it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Saints, we're in a war. We're facing a real devil. Many have fallen aside. Many have gone after the things of this world. We have even watched it with our own eyes. Those who said they once loved Jesus Christ, loved the truth of God, were fully convinced, have been moved from their stability. Oh yes, there is a wind blowing through the Church of God tonight. There is a wind blowing in this city. Have we not already heard today concerning this hurricane? I believe it's called Hurricane Darwin. Very interesting name to be given a hurricane. And we all know who they're thinking of when they call it Hurricane Darwin. This hurricane has settled upon our nation. It's come down over the land. It's centered upon Ireland. It does have a target. It's not accidental. It's not vague. There is a hurricane blowing tonight upon this very city and upon this nation. We've been told on the radio that over 250,000 homes affected in this land that no longer have electricity as a result of this hurricane. I believe that's about 1/16, 1 in 16 homes are affected by this and the lights have gone out. But I want to tell you, there's a worse hurricane that's blowing in this generation. It is a hurricane of deception. It's a hurricane that's come out of hell. It's a hurricane that's opposed to truth. It's a hurricane that is absolutely focused on the church. You see, the devil has the world out there. He's got them. But this hurricane of apostasy and of lies and of worldliness and of compromise, it is focused on the Church of Jesus Christ. It is targeted on you. It is targeted on me. It is targeted on this church. And I want to tell you, I do know a church that's going to keep marching through this hurricane. After this hurricane bypasses, there still will be a people found standing and haven't done all. They're just standing. Through it all, they just stand. No matter who leaves them on the left and the right, they keep on standing. No matter what the scenery looks like, they keep on standing. No matter what the pressures are, they keep on standing. No matter what Satan presents to them in a temptation, they keep on standing. The greatest thing you can do tonight is just stand. If you want to survive the deception that's going through the church, just stand. If you want to go through this storm and come out the other end and find yourself in revival, just stand still. You don't need to do much. Just stand. And saints, that's the whole point of this chapter and of the verses we read. Just stand, saints of God. That is the greatest thing that we can say tonight. Just notice this verse that we've read again. Verse 14. And it says there, stand therefore. Stand therefore. In the previous verses we've read this word stand 3 times. In verse 11 he says, take unto you the armour of God that you may stand against the wiles of Satan. In other words, that what you have to do in response to the wiles of the arrows of Satanist stand. The greatest thing you can do is take the armor of God onto you and just stand. You know, this morning when I was reading my Bible and that wind was blowing and I'm looking at the windows and I'm listening and I'm going, I've never heard a wind blow in those windows like I did this morning. And even for more than a few minutes and more than a few times a day, I've been going, is that window going to give? Now, I know enough about double glazing to know they're going to hold. But you know, saints, it was such a wind that I thought, is it going to stand against this terrible wind? Well, I want to tell you, in these verses, Paul writes unto the church and he says, take the armor of God unto you. You've got to sing so you won't be able to stand. The armor of God enables you to stand. It gives you the ability to stand. It gives you the power to stand. And I want to tell you, a house that's built right will stand against the greatest hurricane that blows through this island of Ireland. There is a people that are built on the truth of God, that are established in the truth of God, that so believe the truth of God, that so love the truth of God, they won't be moved by deception, they won't be moved by temptation, they won't be moved by apostasy, they won't be moved by worldliness and compromise. After it all blows over, they're going to be found standing. And Paul in verse 11, he deals with that, to stand against the wiles of the devil. There are real wiles that come against us. Then secondly, the second time he used it in verse 13, and he says, take unto you the armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Do you know there's certain evil days that come to the church? This is an evil day. What has happened? Well, as we drove in that road, we passed trees, broken walls, many houses that didn't have lights in them today. Why? The wind is blowing and leaving a great effect on our nation. It wasn't like that before, and it won't probably be like that in a week's time. But today a great wind is blowing that has damaged houses, damaged cars, damaged properties, damaged all sorts of things. Who knows the chaos that comes out of that. At one point today, I believe, there was only one road into this city. Every road affected coming into this city. Life is affected. But here Paul is saying to the church that there are certain days that are evil days. And he says, if you're going to stand in an evil day, you need this armor. If you're going to stand in an evil day, you must have the armor of God on, each part of it, in a very real way. And then the verse 3 uses the word a third time, and he says, having done all, to stand. After it's all said and done, what else can you do than stand? Oh, but I'm not seeing revival. I don't care, stand. But I'm not seeing hundreds of souls say, I don't care, stand. But I don't think many of my prayers have been answered. I don't care, just stand. See, these are the things that come to bear. Some people are almost ready to faint because there's no revival. Or others haven't been standing, so my heart is going to faint. Or my prayer that I've been praying for 2 years hasn't been answered, and I feel like fainting. Saints of God, just stand in this hour. It is an evil day. The devil is throwing his devices against the church. It is a dark day. There is a wind blowing across the church. So what are we going to do? You're just going to stand. What are we going to do in this city? We're just going to stand. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to stand for something. Not only against Satan, not only against his devices, not only against all these winds, we are going to stand for something. Now here Paul says in this verse 14, stand therefore. And that word stand, it means to be established. Isn't that what you need in a hurricane? To be established, to be anchored. You know, some trees fell down today. Great trees, big trees fell in this storm today that have been there for many years. They've been grown for many years. You would have thought nothing would have moved them. But in the storm, they have been moved. We've got our three cribbing trees in our back garden, and they're almost bent horizontal. One of them we're a wee bit worried about. Maybe have to lay hands on it, or certainly secure it after this wind blows by. I was looking at it, it's blowing that direction as that wind blows across our garden. And I'm going, looks like it's just going to pop out any second. But you know what? When this wind blows past, We'll be out there. You can be sure Candles will be out there. And we'll be stomping it in around, getting it established, saying, well, you're ready for another storm. Just hold in there, little tree. You look like you're suffering a bit there. Look like you weren't going to make it through this storm, but you're still here. After it's blown through, you're still standing. When it's all said and done, you know, all of yous in this room, temptations came to your heart, isn't that right? Discouragements, demons come knocking on your door. Oh, you may think that you didn't come through it too well. You may have a few scars. You may have a few bad memories. But I want to tell you, you're still standing, saints of God. It's an evil day. It's a dark day. It's a day where the enemy's been out to sift you. But saints of God, rejoice. You're standing. You're standing. You stood through the storm. It not only means to be established, it means to abide. You just keep abiding. You keep dwelling. You keep dwelling in Jesus Christ. Now, when just to stand still doesn't look like you're doing much. But you know what? We're not going back, saints of God. We are going somewhere. Amen. To simply stand means to abide in Christ and to abide in His Word. That's what the apostles taught time after time. They said, just abide in the Word of God. Just abide in Christ. Just live your life in that realm. Saints, if we live our life in this realm of the truth of God and of the person of Christ, you will never be moved. You might feel like you're going to move. You might feel like you're going to faint. You might feel like you can't go on any longer. But after it's all said and done, you'll be found abiding, because it's not your strength that you're standing by. It's not by your power, not by your intellect, but it's by the power of another. Isn't that what we heard? That it's by the power of God that we are in this warfare. This word also means to covenant. And then a beautiful word, we're established, we're abiding, we're anchored, we're secure, we're covenanted. That's what it means. And Paul is saying here, in this iron generation, stand therefore. But there is something to do in this standing position. He goes on to say, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And this is our message tonight. And this is the first bit of the armor, the belt of truth. He says, have your loins girded about with truth. What are the loins? It's literally the hips, or the lower part of the back. It's all this middle part of your body. Now I want to tell you, your loins are the strength of your body. It is the most established part of your body. If I can knock you off that central part of your body, you'll fall down. But when he talks here about standing and about having the loins girded about, he's talking about the hips. It's that ability to stand. It's the strength of the entire man. That is the center of your strength, your hips. That's the most powerful part of you. And if anybody's going to come against you to knock you over, it'll all depend on the power of the strength of your hips. Now notice what he says here. Have your loins. That's talking about a part of you. Your loins. Your strength. That part of you that makes you to stand, that if it gives way, you're in serious trouble. That part of you that if it stands, you're okay. And if it doesn't, you're in trouble. And he says that part of you, of your Christian life, of who you are, he says, let it be girt about with truth. Now the word girt there means to gird all around your middle, or to fasten on your belt. That's what it literally means. To have truth girt right round your loins and the strength of your body. That's what he's commanding them here. Just stand, and in that standing position, make sure that the position you're standing in, you have your loins girded about with truth, because you won't stand otherwise. Remember, you've got to put the armor on in order to be able to stand. It's not just standing in a position that makes you to continue standing. You need to have the armor of God on. And first of all, if you're going to stand through this terrible storm that's sweeping across the church, you will have to gird yourself with the truth of God, or with the belt of truth. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, having girded your loins, it's something that you do, saints. It's something that you've got to be sure of. Have you girded your loins? Can I ask you tonight, are you girded with truth? Then you'll never fall. You'll never be moved away from Christ. You'll never be moved from away from the written truth of God. Never, ever, ever, if you have your loins girded by truth. And that's the importance tonight. You have to make sure that you are actually girded or belted or surrounded by the truth of God. By truth itself. And that truth gives you the ability to stand against hell. And to stand in a dark day. And to stand against apostasy. And to stand against falling away.
Amen.
These are real truth, saints of God. It's having your loins girt about with truth. You need to make sure of that. And you'll never fall when you're established in these things. It is to put on the truth. We take it to us and we put it on and we tighten our belts. Literally, that's what we could say here. When we say having your loins girt about with truth, tighten your belt tonight. Will you all do that? Will you tighten your belt? Spiritually, we've got to be sure that we tighten our belt tonight. You know why? Because there is a storm blowing and you can hear it on our doors and our windows and all around us. You see the effects of this wind blowing on everybody in the Church of Jesus Christ. You see it on churches and ministries and preachers. There is a wind that has taken many far off course. Once they were set to heaven, once they were preaching truth, once they preached the person of Christ, once they preached the word, now they're not. They're preaching dreams and visions and games and foolishness and money. What happened? They once knew the truth, but there came a wind that moved them that weren't girded by truth. Don't you fear, saints of God? Don't you fear, saints of God? They didn't. They were too great for this. They thought, well, I know the word of God. I know everything. I'm strong. I'm popular. I'm a great preacher. I'm anointed. And they forgot that they're to be girded with truth. They're to be surrounded by truth, and now you can find them, saints. I'm going to tell you, if you simply tighten that belt of truth around your waist tonight, all hell will not move you. All hell, every demon in hell will not move you. Oh, you might feel like it. The wind might blow all around you. It might wreck your house, but you'll still be standing in that air. Notice here it says, having the loins girt about with truth. It's a belt of truth. Or it's a girdle of truth. Now what is this word truth? It actually means disclosure. That's what the word truth means. Some of these words are profound when you look at them. The word truth in the New Testament, it actually means disclosure. Or if you'll give me a bit of English license, okay? You could say that the word truth actually means unclosedness. Is it okay if we use that word? Or maybe we could say unconcealedness. Okay? I just want to paint a picture of what this truth is. It is the condition of not being hid. That's what truth is. It is something very evident and very clear. It implies sincerity. Listen to this. Factuality or reality. I'm talking about what truth is. This is what truth is. It's open for all to see. It is reality. It's in the open. It is very distinct and very clear, and we're not left in doubt. There's no darkness in truth. Truth is light. Truth is in the open. Truth is proclaimed abroad. And it says here that it's a belt of truth. We're talking about the armor of light. Paul elsewhere talks about the armor of light. And you know, this belt is a belt of light. It is a belt of light. It is light. It is truth. It is reality. It is honesty. It is uprightness. But it says here it's a belt of truth. Now, in these verses we see six distinct pieces of armor. This is the first one. But there are six distinct pieces of the armor. And please note their order. This belt of truth goes first, before all the others. That's not accidental. The belt of truth must be put on. and made sure first before any of the other parts of the armor. The belt of truth does go first. All the armor depends upon this first one being in place. It is foundational. It is foremost. It is the most vital. Now, please listen to me. Five parts of this armor are defensive. Only one of them is offensive, which is the sword of the Spirit. In verse 17, he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in verse 17, it's talking about the Word of God as a sword in the hand of the Spirit being used through us against the enemy. It's an offensive weapon. It's a weapon of attack. It's a weapon where we're going to take the battle to the enemy. That's what the sword of the Spirit is. But here, don't get it confused with the belt of truth. Now, the sword is the Word of God actively being offensive. But what the belt of truth is a defensive bit of armor. It's not offensive, it's defensive. The truth that Paul is speaking about here will defend you against the enemy. It's not that you're attacking the enemy or you're being proactive. You just stand. And if you put this belt of truth on, it will preserve you. It's defensive. Every attack that comes against you, it defends you. To have the belt of truth on, it'll defend you against everything the enemy can throw at you. You just need to stand. And this belt will give you the ability to stand. He can throw every lie against you. He can try to undermine your assurance or your confidence in the Word of God or tell you what you've experienced isn't real or tell you that you won't make it to the end of this journey. All of that comes against you. What's the answer? The belt of truth. The devil tried to tell you you sinned in a way that can't be forgiven. Well, you need the belt of truth. He'll tell you that you can't know right from wrong or what's right or who's right or when it's right. But I want to tell you the belt of truth is the answer. It is a defensive use of the truth of God. Now the sword is the Word of God, but the belt of truth is the fullness of the Word of God that girds you about. Notice that the sword is drawn out of the sheath on the belt, isn't it? When you draw out that sword, where do you get the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? From that belt, when it's not in use, it's sheathed in that sword. You take out that sword of the Spirit from the girdle of truth. It comes out of the fullness of truth, the breadth of truth, from Genesis to Revelation. What did Jesus say in John 17:17? Thy word is truth. He's praying to the Heavenly Father. And he says, your word, Father, is truth. It is truth. It is the fullness of truth. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22. That is the fullness of the truth of God. It says in Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgment endureth forever. Do you realize that the Word of God endures when there's no more heaven, no more sun, no more earth, and when God rolls all of this up and begins to create a new heaven and earth, when he rolls this old creation up and does away with it and destroys it by fire, do you know what the Bible says? His Word will still endure. It won't fade. Amen. And you know what it says in the New Testament? If you keep and do the Word of God, you will abide eternally. In other words, if this Word is a part of your life, if it becomes a part of you, if you begin to allow the Word of God to affect you, and if you obey it, you will last for all eternity. You're eternal. You'll outlive this whole world of ours through the Word of God. When the Word of God is girded around you, all hell cannot move you and time will not dispense with you. God will keep you. Now notice with the Word of God, Luke, when he began to write his gospel, he gave the reason for why he wrote it. He says in Luke chapter 1:4, he says, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things. That's why he wrote it. Do you hear me? Why did Luke write his gospel? And why did he write the book of Acts? He wrote his gospel that you might know the certainty of these things. There's something very certain about truth. When truth comes forth, it's to settle your mind, to settle your heart, so that you'll know the truth. All through the New Testament, we read of knowing the truth, or acknowledging the truth, or loving the truth, or speaking the truth, or believing the truth, or walking in the truth. Now, do you know what that tells me? Truth can be known. And it is very clear, and it can be understood and comprehended and communicated. Don't let anybody tell you the truth of God is vague. It's not vague, it's a lie. It is absolutely open. The belt of truth that girds us is an absolute shining light. It is an armor of light. It is clear for everybody to understand and to see. There's nothing doubtful about the Word of God. Repent, believe, and be saved. Now what's vague about that? Absolutely nothing. Again, Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 says, but continue thou in all the things which thou hast learned. Just continue in them. Stand in them. Abide in them. Do you think young Timothy went through storms? Do you think he was tempted? Do you think the devil lied to him? Do you think he had heartbreaking encounters with people in the church? Oh yes, he went through it all just like Paul, his mentor. And this is why Paul is saying to him, but continue thou. Does Paul really need to say this to Timothy? Oh aye. He said, Timothy, just you keep going. Don't look back, don't look to the left or right. Just keep going, Timothy. Oh, but I'm scared. Just keep going, Timothy. Oh, but they done something to me. Just keep going, Timothy. And this is what he says. In the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So Timothy's heart actually was brought to a place through the things that were preached to him and taught to him. He was brought to a place of real assurance. And that's what the truth of God does. He'll settle every question in your mind. There's no question has to remain in your mind or in your heart or be knocked off you. As a lie from the pit of hell, every question can be settled. And that's what the truth of God does. It settles and assures you. And Paul tells Timothy here, those things you've been learned and been assured of, known of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Can the Word of God be known? Yes. Saints, can I warn you? I have watched in the past decade, two decades, a wind blow through the church. See, this is the postmodern age. What is postmodernism? Nothing is certain. Black is no longer black and white is no longer white. Everybody has an opinion. Nobody is wrong and nobody is ultimately right. None of us really know anything. That is postmodernism. But you know what? It's invaded every school in this nation. Isn't that right? They've been teaching in the schools, in the colleges, and teachers, finely educated, nicely spoken teachers, with all their education behind them, and they try to tell you there's no absolutes, there's nothing certain. But let me tell you something worse. Not only in our schools affecting our young people in this generation, but it's gone in the churches. Most of the books that you see in the Christian bookshop, they say truth isn't absolute. None of us really know what the gospel are. Some of the greatest, most gifted writers in the church in this hour are men who are breaking up the truth of God. They say we don't really know what truth is. From the Wimber movement years ago, 30 years ago, all the way through to the contemporary emergent church. Do you know what they're all saying? We don't know the gospel. We can't define the gospel. Nobody really knows the gospel. Saints, this is a crazy thing if you didn't know it to be true. And that's getting promoted through books. These are the storms that have come to the church and it's destroyed thousands. And it's undermining their confidence in the truth of God and in the creation of God and in the holiness of a walk and in the assurance of salvation. And there's a great attack upon it in this day. And it's within the church. Within the church. Did Jesus not say and warn that the last days would be marked by deception? Did he not say there would be a rebellion against the Word of God? Did Paul not say that a day would come when men wouldn't want to hear the word of God anymore? They would go seeking, they would have itchy ears seeking for those who preach to them what they want. But they would turn their ears from the truth. They would get tired of the truth, weary of the truth. Can you not give us some entertainment? Can you not tell us some jokes? Can you not make us laugh? Saints, I'd rather make you cry than laugh. Amen. If I can make you cry over the generation we live in, I'll tell you, you'll laugh and rejoice and dance and shout for all eternity. Paul, for 3 years, as he preached to the church at Ephesus, it says he preached and warned them with tears. That's the brokenness he ministered out of. Too serious, we're not serious enough. Too sober-minded, we're not sober-minded enough. Too militant, we're not militant at all. Since the word of God is truth and is light, it's not to be debated, it's not to be argued over, it is self-explanatory. And this hour, there's no absolutes and it's invaded the church, but you know who's behind it? The devil. It's a device of Satan to undermine truth, that there's nothing sure. But I want to tell you, the truth of God is sure tonight. You can stand and hold the truth of God. The gospel is called, in Colossians 1 verse 5, it's called the truth of the gospel. Do you realize that's the truth we're to gird ourselves with? The truth of the gospel. I have been redeemed by the blood. Many don't want to hear about the blood tonight. I believe in a Bible that's inspired of God. Not only that the truth is in the Bible is truth. It is the word of God. Not only that it contains the word of God, and there's a big difference, because there's many men in this generation that say, well, there are mistakes in it, and there's a few lines out of order, and it's not exactly accurate, and we can't know. I want to tell you, Christ himself called the Old Testament scriptures. He said, this is God's word. It is God's truth. There's nothing unsure about that, saints. The gospel is the gospel of truth. And again, we're told that it's the word of truth. And in Ephesians 1 and 3, it's called the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So we know all the truth about the blood and the resurrection and of redemption and of forgiveness of sins and the born again experience. This is truth. And you're to gird yourself, you're to tighten your belt. I do know what the Bible says. I do know that my sins are forgiven. I've been assured in my heart that this Bible is true. That there is a coming judgment. There's an eternal hell. But there's a judgment of rewards for us. And there's an eternal heaven and a dwelling place with the living Christ. I am absolutely assured of it. I'm going to testify tonight. I'm going to testify to you that I am absolutely persuaded. I don't have one question or doubt about this book. Oh, I might have questions, things I don't understand. But I don't have one doubt over its absolute inspiration. Amen. I don't have one doubt over the holiness that we're required to walk in. I don't have any doubt that my Christ is waiting me. And the day I breathe my last, I'm going to step into his presence. Amen. You see, saints, this is the truth of God. It is God breathed. Paul writing to Timothy, he says it's inspired of God. The written scriptures, the black and white print on the page is inspired. We don't need a revelation of it. It is authoritative. It is absolutely inspired of God. I don't need to say, well, I'm praying about the word. I'm praying to understand the word. I just believe it. What about Revelation chapter 1? He said, blessed is the man that readeth and believeth. Thank God it didn't say understand. Some of those beasts we don't understand. But he said, blessed is the man who readeth it. He's just hungry for the word of God. And I want to tell you, this word will keep you. And in the New Testament, we're told to love the truth, to walk in the truth, to believe the truth, to receive the truth, to abide in the truth. We're told of other men who once knew the truth, and it says they erred from the truth, that they resisted the truth. that they rejected the truth. Truth is a real thing, and either we're going to wear it as a belt or it'll condemn us on judgment day. But truth isn't going to be fading away anywhere. Truth is truth. Either you'll gird yourself with it or it will condemn you on that day. Now look at it. It calls it the belt of truth. Now Paul is thinking here of the Roman soldier, the Roman army, the individual soldiers. He's thinking of them in the belt that they wore around the middle of their body. That actual belt was called the Centurion, literally meaning the belt of the girdle. It's the Latin word for the belt of the girdle. It was about 6 to 8 inches wide. You know at home, I've got one of those lifting belts. You know, you put it on this stage of life, I've got to think of things like that. And if I'm going to lift anything heavy, I put on that belt. I don't dare lift anything heavy without that belt. And you know what it does? It amazingly, it's a thick belt, about 6 to 8 inches, think it would be. And when I put it tightly in around me, and I make sure I get it good and tight, that it braces in my loins. That's where it is. It's girt around my loins. And as I tighten it, I can lift things without any fear of putting my back out. It literally strengthens my whole composure. It strengthens my frame. You see, I've got no problem with my arm muscles. It's my back muscles that's a problem. It's those discs. But when I put that belt on, and that's what this Roman soldier's belt was, about 6 to 8 inches wide. It was a single belt. Do you know the truth of God is a single united whole? From Genesis to Revelation, it's undivided. It is one thing. Christ is the center of it. The blood runs from Genesis to Revelation. We read of the blood everywhere. We read of holiness everywhere. We believe about walking in obedience to God. We're told time and time again to obey the truth. Listen to me. Obey the truth. Some men make you believe you don't know what truth is. And we can't know truth. I want to tell you, you can so know truth, you have to obey it.
Amen.
Obey the truth. If somebody doesn't obey the truth, if they plead ignorance, I'm sorry. God will condemn them. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I didn't know. Well, I read a commentary about it, and they said something else. Well, someone once told me. Well, I think truth is truth. Now notice this Roman soldier's belt. It's one single whole. It unites together. It stands together. You don't take a bit of it and leave the rest. Well, I like all the promises, but I don't like some of those commands. I like all the blessings and all the happy stuff, but those stuff that would grieve my heart or convict me, I don't like it. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't have it all girded in you, you will not stand. All the promises won't keep you by themselves. All the happy blessings in the Bible, well, I'll just surround myself with them. You'll get yourself in trouble. There's warnings in this truth. There's exhortations in this truth. There's instruction in this truth. And it's meant to be a belt surrounding you. Promises, warnings, instructions. All of these are to surround you. This is the truth of God. And you know what? Just like that belt with me, it will strengthen your loins. It will make you stand. And it's a single belt made of leather with brass platelets to the front. About 7 parts of it hang down in front of you. Now what is he saying here when he's talking about the belt of truth? And when we look at the Roman soldier, what do we learn? Why did the Roman soldier used to have this belt on? What's he saying here? Now the first great mark of this belt is that it was used to gather up all your garments. Do you know in those ancient days they had flowing garments and gowns? And what Paul is saying here is you need to gird yourself about with truth. You need to gather up all your garments. You need to tie your garments in. Do you know what he's saying? Those thoughts of yours, you need to tuck them in the belt of truth. And you know those emotions and feelings, you need to tuck them inside the belt. And you know those straying thoughts or people's opinions or ideas or what men teach, you need to tuck it all inside the belt of truth. And anything that doesn't correspond with that truth, you need to get rid of it. But you need to tighten yourself in. Do you know what Elijah done, an Old Testament member? The Lord told him, I'm going to send rain. And said he girded up his garments. Do you know what he done? He tucked them in his belt and he ran with strength for 40 days. He wouldn't have been able to run. He had a tuck in his garments if he was going to run. And I want to tell you, the belt of truth is to make you stand in the warfare. You are not ready to fight the devil or to stand effectively until you start tucking everything in and binding it up with truth. Bring everything of your feelings, your emotions. There's too much of this in the church. Well, I just thought. Well, I think. Well, I heard somebody say. I don't care. Tuck it in the belt of truth. This is truth. This is truth. This is all we need, saints of God. And anybody who relies on anything else will not be standing in the morning. Just like that tree, it's holding out. I'll give you a call in the morning, I'll tell you, it's still standing. The cribbing tree is still standing. It comes through the wind and it's still there. But I want to tell you, see with this belt, you need to tuck everything in. But the second mark of this belt is that this belt goes on first because it's going to keep all the other bits of armor in its right place. Do you realize the truth of God? When you fill your mind and your heart and your life with the Word of God, it keeps everything in its right place. Because of the truth girding you, tight in round your waist, tighten your belt. Do you know what a loose belt's like? Does nothing. Do you know what I heard of? I heard of a policeman in America. And he was out on duty. And they're sitting waiting. They got a tip off that this place was going to be robbed. And they're just waiting, sitting waiting, hiding it out of the way in the darkness, sitting waiting. And here comes a guy. And he steals a big stereo. And he's making off with it, not knowing he's being watched, not knowing he's about to get caught. And the policeman is prepared. He's got his belt on. With his handcuffs and his gun and everything else he needs on there. All sorts of things on their belt. So he shouts at him and then starts running towards him. And this guy, this is a true story. This guy ran off with this big stereo trying to get away. But you know what? This was a young guy caught up in the contemporary trends. So he had those trousers that hang halfway down. No belt to keep them up. And he said, and this is a true story. And he said the guy was so trying to hold his trousers up and trying to hold onto the stereo and trying to run that the policeman caught him without any effort. The guy should have had a proper belt on. That's a true story. The guy running about with no belt in his trousers. No wonder he got caught. But I want to tell you, there's many a Christian. They're just as foolish. They're just as foolish in the church. And they're running about with no belt in their trousers. You know those young guys? I'm always shocked at them. Never seen a worse style. I don't even know how it works. I can't even get my mind around it. How do those trousers stay where they're meant to stay? Ridiculous. Some shops in America have signs up. Say, if you don't pull your trousers up, don't be coming in here. Do you know what? The church should have a sign. We want Christians with their trousers pulled up. With their belts tightened. We believe in truth in this church. Yes. Not opinions, not ideas, not theologies. We believe in the truth. Where does it say it in the Bible? Do you know what Christ said? The scripture said. And Paul said, it is written. All the men of God have always said, what does the Bible say? Saints, what does the Bible say? Let's go back to the Bible again. We're in a storm and churches and spiritual movements have lost their confidence in this Bible. But this church isn't going to. And let me tell you further, in dealing with the armor of God, it's not just individually, it's about a church. Paul isn't just speaking individually about a person. He's speaking to the whole church at Ephesus. And he says, put on that belt. Gird yourself with the belt of truth. Do you know what else that belt meant? It not only kept all your garments in and kept all the other parts of the armor in the right place and held tightly together. It was a badge of office. That's what that belt meant. If you read about the old Roman soldiers, that belt was their badge of honor. It was a status symbol. It actually marked out, they decorated it with their rank and rewards. It was worn at all times. They never took it off. Even when they're off duty, they still wore that belt. Oh, they don't have their uniform on, but they've got the belt of truth on. I want to tell you, you're never off duty. Never take the belt of truth off. Never lay it aside. There are no off times. The belt of truth remains there. There is no off duty when you're in the army of God. But that belt is a badge of office. That belt of truth marks me out. When I say I believe this Bible, that marks me. I do believe that I'm born again. I do believe in blood redemption. I do believe in holiness of life. You see, this belt of truth so girds me. It marks who I am. You know, someone, if they get too close to me, they go, well, one of these holy Jews. He's a fundamentalist. You bet I'm a fundamentalist. He's one of those Bible believers. Yes, I am.
Amen.
Do you know what? We used to get mocked from outside the church or from the liberal movements or the Catholic Church. Do you know who mocks us now? Evangelicals. Pentecostals. That's who's mocking it. The Pope doesn't give me any bother. It's those who say they speak in tongues. It's them that have lost confidence in the blood and the cross and the word and in holiness. They're losing confidence. But saints, let us as a church gird ourselves with the truth. We don't want error in this church. It's the only way this church is going to stand. You know the old revivals? God always looked for a man who was girded by truth because he's going to preach the word. God always looked for some church and he had to bypass many. They've lost confidence in the truth. They're starting to put question marks over it. They don't believe in the blood anymore. They don't believe in holiness anymore. He just kept looking. Give me a people. Find me someone. Find me someone who believes in this truth, who's girded with it, and they'll stand against the gates of hell. And another thing about this belt, it made a noise when it marched. It was covered in brass in the front. And as that army marched, you would hear the noise of the brass. It was meant to intimidate the enemy. When they heard of them coming. Do you know what it is? It's a belt of truth. This is what we believe. We are a people girded by truth. We believe the Bible. We believe in the written scriptures. We speak the written scriptures. What it says is my opinion. We want to be a people united in truth. Molded by truth. Governed by truth. You know what Peter says, 1 Peter 1 and 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Not only physical loins, but the loins of your mind. And he says, gird up the loins of your mind. How are you going to do that? Pull the belt tighter, truth. We need truth to hold things in here in our mind. Isn't that where the warfare is? In your mind. Don't you have thoughts that come against your mind? Don't you have feelings that come up? Don't you have thoughts of discouragement or despair or despondency? How are you going to deal with that? When the enemy comes to discourage you, how are you going to counter that? When the devil comes to tell a lie to you, how are you going to stand against that? What's going to stop you capitulating? Or being molded by his theories and lies and deception? What's going to stop you? It's going to be the truth of God. It's the truth of God. Can I exhort you as we close? Make sure your mind is a biblical mind. Make sure your mind is filled with the Word of God. Do you know in the Old Testament they wore it? Knew the Orthodox Jew in Israel, they wear a little box on their forehead. That's because in the Old Testament Moses said, put it in your forehead, put it in outside your house, you know, put it everywhere. And they literally, where they took it literally. Thank God. I wish some Christians would take it literally. And they wear it on their head because they want it on their mind. They're saying, I want the Word of God in my mind. I want it to govern my thinking. I want the doctrine of God to saturate my brain. Some people would laugh at you if you preach like this. But we want a mind girded, surrounded by truth, saturated by truth. How you think, your thought processes. What goes through your mind? What you set your mind on? Set it on the truth. Let the truth of God be tightened round your mind, in your thoughts. You see, it's in the brain, in the mind, that you stop thoughts coming in. If you don't stop it at the mind, it goes into the heart. But if you stop it at the mind, it'll never get in the heart. What you become in the realm of the mind is what you become in the heart. But more than that, that the Word of God would gird your experience. Do you believe in being born again? I hope so. And you know why? If anyone asks, why do you believe that? Because the Bible tells me so. Do you believe in the baptism in the Holy Ghost? I sure do, because the Bible tells me so. And what was for them is for me now. Do you believe in holiness? Are you one of those holiness people? Well, I didn't know a Christian who wasn't. Didn't know one, not one. They're all. You see, your experience has to be girded by truth. Your beliefs have to be governed by the truth of God's Word. You need to be encompassed by the Word of God. You need to allow the truth of God to master you and to control you and to steer you and to direct you and to dictate to you. It's the only way you'll stand against the devil. Because let me tell you, if anybody ever thinks, well, I don't want to be under the dictates of the Word, I just want to have my own ideas. Oh no. You see, that there's no vacuums in the spiritual realm. If the Word of God doesn't govern you, lies will govern you. The devil will govern you. If God can't govern your life through the truth, then the devil will through lies. It's one or the other. You don't have a third option. There's no third way. There's no vacuum of free space. Free spiritual space where God doesn't have input and the devil doesn't. It doesn't exist. It's a fairyland. It's not there. But we're to be mastered by the truth, held by it. Hold on to it. It will put you on your feet. It will make you stand against the devil. It'll make you stand when others compromise. Why am I still standing and other preachers aren't? Why is it over the past 10 years I still believe what I always believed? Why is it I haven't changed direction? Why is it if you listen tapes of me 20 years ago, I'm preaching the very same thing? Why is that? Because I'm girded with truth. I'm letting it affect me. I don't sit in judgment of it. I don't pick through the Word of God. It sits in judgment of me. It deals with me. I don't read it to find something that I believe or agree with. I read it that He might search me and deal with anything in my life. My whole life is to be governed by truth. The truth as it's revealed in Jesus Christ. It governs your attitude. It's to govern your thoughts, your convictions, your decisions. You're not to do anything apart from the truth of God, or else you'll move into the arena of the enemy. Because if God isn't governing your decisions, the devil will. And if God, through His truth, doesn't govern your attitudes and your convictions, then the devil will. Who is molding your convictions? Is it the devil? Or is it the Holy Spirit? He is the Holy Spirit of truth. It says in John 15, He is the Spirit of truth. He will testify of me. In other words, He's bringing truth. It says, He will guide you into all truth. How does the Holy Spirit work? He guides you into truth. He has come to reveal things from the Father and the Son. Truth. He's revealing truth. He's a God of truth. Christ is the God of truth. God the Father is the God of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And they're all working together to bring you into truth. But there is no vacuum, saints. Be assured of that. Truth gives unity to us in this church. We're not to be unified on a set of doctrines. We're to be unified in truth. Is it possible? Yes. We don't say just believe what you want as long as you love Jesus Christ. No. There must be an agreement of mind. Truth doesn't divide. true believers. Truth unites us. Unity is birthed out of truth. There's many people down over the generations, but certainly ours, that said, well, doctrine divides. Oh, no. It might separate a heretic from a born-again believer. Oh, yes, it will. It might separate a Lot from an Abraham. It does. It might separate those who want to compromise worldly life from those who are zealous to be changed. Oh yes, truth separates. But truth unites. How else are we to be united? Do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord?
Amen.
Do you believe he was raised from the dead?
Yes.
Do you believe he's coming back again?
Yes.
Do you believe that the blood has cleansed away your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Yes.
Do you believe it's true when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it?
Yes.
Do you believe he wants us to walk in holiness?
Yes.
Do you believe that we're to be girded by truth?
Amen.
You see, there's unity in truth. It must determine your character. It must mold your convictions. Where do convictions come from? What are convictions? Convictions are, this is what I believe and I will not be moved from it. Do you know there's some worldly people in the church, you can't move them.
Yeah.
You hear me, they have convictions, oh they do.
Yeah.
But their convictions are not birthed out of the Word of God. Their convictions, they will not bend. They will not be changed. They cannot be convinced by the Word of God. They have convictions, but it's not molded by truth. They don't want to be changed by truth. There's something wrong with that. Terribly wrong. All the virtues within us are to be molded by truth. Molded by truth. Let me finish with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. We read of the very last days of time. The end of time. And we read there in 2 Thessalonians 2 of the great delusion that's going to sweep our world. A strong delusion. Who sends it? God sends it, not the devil. We are told, it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. It's talking about the end day generation, just before Jesus comes back to the earth physically. And it says, before that time, God sends out a strong delusion. What is delusion? It's deception. It's that you actually think what is utter error and falsehood, you think it's true. They are going to worship the man of sin, the Antichrist, the devil incarnate in human flesh. They're going to worship him. They're going to sell their souls to him. They're going to take his mark. And it's going to be out of this great delusion that God sends on the earth. Now why would God do that? It's because he sent truth and they wouldn't receive it. Listen to what it says. It says, because they received not the love of the truth. Why does God damn men eternally in hell? Because, mark that word, because there's always a reason why men go to hell. There's always a reason why men are deceived. There's always a reason why men go back to the world after having heard the gospel. It's because they received not the love of the truth. This girding of our waist or our loins with truth, it's because we love truth. This isn't something against my will. This is something I delight in. I love the truth, saints. And he says here that there are those who receive a love for truth. Do you realize that a love for truth is something we receive? It's not something we work up. It's something from God that he gives the born-again believer. We love truth. We delight in truth. We desire truth. But also in 2 Thessalonians 2, he says, them who believed the truth. Those who don't get deluded love the truth and believe the truth. But those who get given over to believe a lie. Do you know why it was? Because they didn't love the truth. And they didn't believe the truth. So what other option is there? Lord says, I sent the gospel to them. I sent preachers. I sent my word. I beseeched them. My son died in Calvary. So now I'm going to send a great delusion because they rejected truth. There's always a grave danger in rejecting truth. Saints, we as a church here, we will stand for truth. This is a generation, we are going to stand through the storm. I don't care how dark it gets out there. There's going to be a church in this city that will stand and haven't done all to stand. Now why? Why are you going to stand when others have fallen? Because you have your loins girt about with truth. I don't care who falls through the floors. I don't care who goes through the rafters. I don't care who goes off track. There's going to be a people who stand through it all, and all hell will not move them. No discouragement, no lie, because they're girded around with truth. Show me a Christian who daily brings his whole life, his mind, his feelings under the authority of God's word and accepts this as the absolute authority in the church, in their life, in their family, in their nation. Show me someone like that, and I'll show you a man who has the belt of truth on. He is bowing and submitting himself to the authority of truth. He's yielding to truth. He desires the truth. And show me a church where truth is spoken one to the other. They desire to open up the truth. And I'll show you a church that'll stand against hell, stand against the gates of hell, stand against the devices of hell, and is going to overcome. Saints, we are going to stand in this hour. And while other men go down into apostasy, there is a church going to go forward into revival. It is time for us to revive. And in this revival, we're going to preach the truth. We're going to proclaim the truth. We're going to stand on the truth. We're going to be militant on truth. We're going to be girt by truth. And more than ever, our minds are going to be blazing with the truth of God. Our tongues will be on fire with the truth of God. Our hearts are going to be filled and overflowing with the truth of God. But you know what? No matter how dark it gets, and what wind of apostasy and Hurricane Darwin or Hurricane Benny Hinn or anything else blows through, do you know what? I'm just going to stand. And I haven't done all, I'm going to stand. You know, all through these years I've seen the winds come and the winds go. I'm still standing, saints, because I was built on Jesus Christ. Yes. And that foundation will never move. It'll never fail you. And it never changes. This word of God is absolutely unchanging. Amen. And you know what? It brings security. It brings stability. It'll anchor you to the spot. Nobody's going to move you. No family member. Yeah. No church person. No apostle. Yeah. Say, I just think I'll stand with the truth of God. Yeah. Please stand with me. Oh, let's rejoice in this truth tonight. Oh, thank